Are you interested in radio? Community-based media? You can join CJSF 90.1. We're a volunteer-run community radio station, and we always have space for new volunteers to become programmers, review music, edit audio, and so much more. All the training is provided, and anyone can join. To volunteer, email our volunteer coordinator, Noel, at vol_4_CJSF@sfu.ca. Again, that's vol_4_CJSF@sfu.ca. Or you can visit our website, cjsf.ca. It's CJSF 90.1, diverse, independent, and yours.
Welcome to the Canadian Philosophy Show. I am Michael Robert Kaditz. I'll be leading today, and I'm here with my colleague, Aaron Wang. So today I'm going to do something a little bit different, and I'm going to start out by playing several clips from a CBC documentary from the CBC series, The Nature of Things. It's about a group of archaeologists, not that long ago, a few years ago, who studied, finally disproved the beliefs about when humans first arrived in North America, specifically the southwest part of the United States, what is now the United States, and Mexico. It turns out, because of the work of these archaeologists, that it's been well established now in just the last few years that humans actually resided in the southwestern part of North America thousands and thousands of years before originally believed. There's philosophical content in this, and I'm going to talk about that after I play a number of clips, just the audio clips, of course, from this CBC documentary. So I'm going to play a clip and then make some comments, and then play another clip and make some comments, and do that for several clips. So I think this will be interesting, and then we'll talk about it, of course, later.
It's one of humanity's great mysteries. When did our ancestors first set foot in the Americas?
Presumably, there should not be people on the continent before 15,000 years ago.
A renegade archaeologist digging in a remote cave in Mexico makes a shocking discovery.
Bones.
That could change everything.
A group of archaeologists made shocking discoveries in New Mexico and Mexico, which completely rewrote the history of human settlement in North America. So let's listen to a bit more from this CBC documentary.
It's rewriting history.
It's just going to change everything we think about the people in the Americas. It's mind-blowing.
The argument of how long we were here, we never had that argument because we just felt and know that we've been here for forever.
So what you just heard in that clip was an indigenous person saying that there is no argument. We felt, as an indigenous person, we have felt that humans have been here forever. The documentary now is setting up this juxtaposition between archaeologists who are rattling Western scientific archaeological theory about when humans arrived in North America, whereas the indigenous person is saying, well, we knew this for a long time. We've always known this, that there were people here in North America, he said, forever.
I'm in search for the earliest humans on the American continent. When I say early, I'm talking about the Ice Age. That's what I'm searching for. When did they get here? That's the biggest question you can have on a continent.
On a world map, a line from Africa splits off.
Most textbooks say humans left Africa at least 60,000 years ago. Some traveling northeast, eventually reaching the Bering land bridge that connected what is now Asia with the Americas. Here, they hit a roadblock, a wall of ice that kept them out.
Any ability for animals, even humans, to migrate through Canada would have slammed shut. Humans would not have been able to make that journey.
The ice sheet was massive, stretching from what is now the Yukon all the way to New York.
A giant glacier encompasses most of a map of North America.
Attempting to cross it, the thinking goes, meant certain death. Ardalion doesn't buy it. He says early humans crossed over many thousands of years earlier and traveled all the way to Mexico, putting them in North America long before the end of the Ice Age.
How is it possible for them to be here?
Cyprian drives through the desert.
His theory took shape in a remote cave high in the mountains.
It was at almost 3,000 meters of altitude. One has to walk like 9 hours up the hill.
Shaky cell phone footage of a hill climbing expedition.
Looking for Ice Age plant remains, he found something entirely different.
Suddenly, started to note small pieces of stone with modified edges. So when ancient people make tools out of stone, they hit the stone and they obtain these pieces of stone that they can use as cutting tools or scraping tools. Day after day, my students were finding these things. I really didn't expect humans there. I realize that indeed the cave is actually full of tools. I still had no idea how old.
Stone can't be dated, so he collects sediment around the tools and sends it for radiocarbon testing.
When I started to receive the first results, and it was...
He holds up his hands.
The dates suggest 27,000 plus minus 2,500 years.
A map of North America.
We are in central Mexico, not on the coast, not right next to the Bering Strait. We are many thousands of kilometers from any possible entry point to the continent, whether by land or sea. And yet, for thousands and thousands of years, you have humans living there.
You are listening to the Canadian Philosophy Show, and I'm playing clips from a CBC documentary called Walking with Ancients. What they said in that clip was that the prevailing belief was that although humans entered North America way up by the Bering Strait in Alaska, what is now Alaska, 60,000 years ago, they had no way to get to the remainder of North America, especially to the southern part of North America, to the area now known as Mexico. They had no way to get there because of the huge glacier that was covering what is now Alaska and northern Canada all the way to New York. So that was during the Ice Age. The belief has been amongst Western archaeologists that there was no way that humans could have gotten to the rest of North America before maybe 6,000 years ago. After the ice had melted, archaeologists have discovered bones which suggest human activity 23,000 years ago in Mexico. If, in fact, there were humans in Mexico 27,000 years ago, how could they have possibly gotten there considering the huge ice sheet that existed up in what is now Alaska and Yukon?
In 2020, he published his findings, which make headlines around the world.
News website headlines in different languages describe the possible arrival of people in North America 30,000 years ago.
It was huge. Cyprian Ardalion has been working there with a multidisciplinary team using all of the barrage of techniques that archaeologists have at their disposal these days, which is really exciting.
Text on screen, Lima, Radiocarbon Dating Laboratory, IF Unum.
But the excitement is tinged with skepticism.
News subheadline, but not everyone is convinced.
The problem is whether or not the artifacts are truly artifacts. Whether or not those are naturally produced from rocks falling and crashing into one another, or could these truly be things that were the products of humans?
An ancient human hits rocks together.
But the tools were alike. They were not accidents.
To convince the skeptics, Ardalion needs more proof. He settles on a new dig site, 100 kilometers from the first, a deep cavern on the side of a mountain. It's called Cima de las Golondrinas, the Chasm of Swallows.
Every grain of dirt that goes in, as well as animals, humans, whatever, never comes out, right? So it's like a time capsule.
After months of preparation, he's ready to dig.
Computer imaging shows rivers and trees on the now barren mountain.
20,000 years ago, these mountains were lush and green. The ice didn't reach this far south. Plants and animals thrived here. But did humans live among them?
Archaeologists approach scaffolding in a giant hole in the ground.
To change the history books, Ardalion needs more than bits of stone. He's looking for bone, butchered animal bone.
Cut bone beats stone tools because there is a stronger argument towards human presence when you have a human intervention on an animal part.
A butchered animal has telltale cut marks on its bones that can be dated.
A bone dates itself because you can take tiny samples of it and do radiocarbon.
So what you hear here in this piece is the archaeologist, or the archaeologists who have a theory that humans inhabited North America, the area around Mexico, 30,000 years ago, that the theory isn't good enough. They really need proof, right? So even the existence of stones with markings and so on isn't enough. They're going to great lengths to establish scientifically, to establish strong evidence, convincing proof that indeed there were humans in that area of North America 30,000 years ago. And you're going to hear also in the next couple of clips that they have to go through a lot in order to come up with strong confirming evidence for the theory, right? The theory by itself isn't good enough. And you can hear a little bit of what these archaeologists had to go through to establish a theory which would be accepted by the scientific community because there was strong enough confirming evidence.
Bone sitting on the next layer, a big rib.
Wearing plastic gloves, he picks up a small bone.
It's maybe the rib of a small herbivore.
He inspects the small bone.
There's new bone coming out. Didn't expect this to show up here.
He scrapes off some sediment.
It looks like a leg bone.
He picks up a small bone and dusts it off with a brush. He inspects the bone with an eyepiece.
It's cut. Cut. And it's V-shaped. This is an old cut.
Ardalion thinks it's the ankle bone of a bighorn sheep. The faint etchings appear to have been made by a stone blade.
Two blows could be a first clue, the presence of humans at the very end of the glacial maximum in this cave. And if they were here in the middle of Mexico, they were probably roaming around the continent throughout the entire glacial maximum. That 1 millimeter cut changes history.
The nature of things.
Okay, so the archaeologists are continuing to accumulate more and more evidence for their theory that humans actually inhabited the area, which is now Mexico, 30,000 plus years ago, which would be a complete change in the body of knowledge, archaeological knowledge of human history in North America.
Deep in a cave in Mexico, Cyprian Ardalion holds in his hand an ancient bone fragment.
It's cut.
That could change history. If the cut was made by a human, it means people were here at least 16,000 years ago, a notion prevailing wisdom calls impossible. The answers could lie 5,400 kilometers to the north in the Yukon, at the far eastern edge of what was once the Bering Land Bridge. Archaeologist Lauriane Bourgeon is sifting through tantalizing clues from a decades-old excavation site called Bluefish Caves.
So another piece of the model being developed, being tested by the Ordalian guy, archaeologist, would be evidence for humans up in the Yukon, because that is the only conceivable route by which they could have traveled from Asia to North America, to the southern part of North America. So even though it was thought that there's no way that humans could have done that because of the ice sheet, apparently the theory is now that there may have been a way. There may have been a way for them to get through up in the Yukon. So now they're focusing on some archaeological digs up in the Yukon.
Bourgeon sifts through 40,000 ancient animal bones, caribou, woolly mammoths, and extinct species of bison and horse.
She looks through a microscope.
And then I found cut marks on bones. One bone in particular, a horse mandible with cut marks. There's a series of cuts, very thin, very deep. A carnivore wouldn't leave such marks. Very clear human intervention on this horse mandible.
To determine its age, Bourgeon sends the bone to one of the world's best radiocarbon labs at Oxford University.
And that's when I got that date of 24,000 years. So that's when I completely changed my mind. I was like, okay, it means that Jack was right.
Bourgeon comes armed with technology that her predecessor didn't have in the 1970s. She's also brought an elder, a former chief of the local Vuntut Gwich'in community.
Entering into the scene here, an elder from the local indigenous community. And you're going to hear in the next few clips that there is an indigenous legend, which is claimed to be knowledge by the indigenous people, that holds that, in fact, there were people who emigrated through the Yukon and then down into the rest of North America. And the indigenous people have stories and legends that have passed on from generation to generation that hold that to be the case. But that's exactly what the archaeologists are now trying to prove in a Western scientific way by painstakingly going through these archaeological sites and sending material and fragments to carbon dating labs and so on. And they're still not done. They still haven't proved it.
The argument of how long we were here, it's we never had that argument, because we just felt and know that we've been here for, again, forever.
Our people say we have been here forever. They have every right to tell their story in their way, whether it's literal or whether it's metaphorical.
Algoma University, Sault Ste. Marie, Canada.
I weave together archaeological knowledge, indigenous knowledge, environmental knowledge.
Indigenous archaeologist and professor Paulette Steves believes the story of when and how humans arrived in the Americas is tainted by a colonial worldview.
I'm Cree Métis. I was born in Whitehorse, Yukon. When I was in elementary school, I wasn't taught anything. It was if, you know, indigenous people didn't exist. When I was in university, I was taught that we'd maybe been here 12,000 years and we were Asians from Asia. Racism is embedded in American archaeology. It has been since day one.
Cyprian Ardalion's findings suggest humans reached the Americas almost 30,000 years ago, a staggering 15,000 years before the ice receded enough to let them through.
You are listening to the Canadian Philosophy Show. I am playing clips from a CBC documentary called Walking with Ancients. So now we're seeing the scene here of indigenous peoples on site, some indigenous elders on site at some of these archaeological digs where Western archaeologists are trying to prove something that the indigenous people claim to have known always, specifically that there were humans in North America, in the Yukon, and then down in the remainder of North America, down in Mexico area, for more than 30,000 years. So the not only that, but the indigenous elders are suggesting that Western scientists are racist in that they discount the indigenous stories. They discount indigenous knowledge, and they're trying to prove something which indigenous people already know. So we're seeing a setup here of sort of the tension between or juxtaposition between Western science and ancient indigenous stories, which indigenous people claim is knowledge, whereas Western scientists don't believe there's knowledge until they prove via their scientific methods, carbon dating, and all the exhaustive methods that these archaeologists are going through to try and meet the standards of Western science. And so, which is correct here? Do indigenous people have knowledge because of their stories? Or are the Western scientists correct in that there's no knowledge until they go through this whole process of gathering evidence and proving their model is correct?
Digging down in time, Ardalion's excavation site has revealed two more Ice Age bones.
Something damaged this bone.
The cut marks could be 17 to 20,000 years old, but did a human make them? He can't say for sure.
If you rush conclusions and if you celebrate before all the possible alternatives are consulted, you are doing a serious harm to science.
He packs the bone fragments into a container. Then a plane flies at sunset.
Looking for answers, he flies the bones to an electron microscopy lab in Mexico City. This microscope can magnify a bone down to the atomic level. It should tell them if the cut marks were made by ancient humans or the teeth and claws of another predator.
This is a threshold. This is a real threshold. It would be a really, really big, big thing.
They're hoping to see the signature mark of a spearhead or blade cut, a crisp, straight line that proves it was human-made.
Cyprian and other scientists look at a computer monitor.
Starting to see something.
Yep.
Here it comes.
Cyprian claps his hands and shifts in his seat.
That's where it enters.
Yeah.
I'm almost certain this is a cut.
Wow.
This is the evidence we need.
They're not done. They haven't gotten strong enough confirming evidence for their model that humans were in Mexico 30,000 plus years ago. Whereas at the same time, the indigenous people and the indigenous elders who are on the archaeological sites are saying, you guys are racist. You're discounting our knowledge. We already know that. We indigenous people already know because of our stories that have been passed on from generation to generation that we were here that long ago.
But his work is not done yet.
Now we have to date that layer. So we still don't know at this moment how old the bones are.
If he can radiocarbon date the bone to 20,000 years or more, he'll have sealed the deal. A human was hunting on the plains of Mexico deep into the Ice Age. The implications are profound. If humans inhabited Mexico this early, they may well have been in the far north even earlier. Vuntut Gwich'in oral history is rich with stories of ancient ancestors traveling great distances, hunting mammoths.
So there's a lot of reasons why I know that people have been here a long time. We know that mammals have been using land areas to cross between the continents for millions of years. They had to have land that was dry, that had food, and they wandered across it.
The indigenous people involved are saying, we already knew this. Well, the scientists, the Western scientists, archaeologists, are going through many, many steps to try and prove.
So we're told that even though early humans were very capable and they walked from Africa to Northern Asia, they just stopped when they got there and they never crossed like the mammals were coming and going all this time and humans never came over here. That doesn't make any sense.
If herds of animals crossed into North America before the ice wall formed, Maybe humans did too. Maybe they followed the food.
Red lines on a map of ancient North America cross a land bridge from Asia to central Mexico.
The final proof could be here in New Mexico.
White Sands National Park, New Mexico, USA.
On a routine survey of White Sands National Park, Ranger David Bustos has noticed something unusual. Huge imprints in the sand.
So now the scene changes to White Sands National Park in New Mexico, where the archaeologists are now studying another site to find more evidence to confirm their model. Again, while the indigenous people are saying, well, of course there were people here, you have the archaeologists trying to prove it still.
I was walking around and started looking and seeing these enormous mammoth prints. This, holy cow, it's huge, about 13-foot strides, just really, really large stride. And there's no other animal anywhere, no other tracks that are that large, just an enormous animal. And then, you know, started seeing what looked like elongated prints.
David inspects fossilized footprints in the sand.
Really incredible footprint. And they seem like that just doesn't seem possible to have human prints alongside with the mammoth prints.
Toes.
There's a human print. Holy cow. And, you know, that was it.
There's another one, you see. The heel's just in here.
I don't get excited about a lot of things. It's not really in my nature. I'm sort of British after all. But there was excitement.
To uncover the full story of these remarkable human prints, Bennett and Bustos invite a team of experts to have a look. One of them is indigenous archaeologist Ed Jolie.
It's very much a visceral experience being there at White Sands and literally, you know, walking, you know, potentially in the footsteps of my ancestors. You know, these were people that walked and talked, got mad and sad and angry, just like us. It's a pretty powerful experience.
Kathleen Springer and Jeff Bigotti are here to confirm the age of the footprints. Their findings could reshape our understanding of human history, but it won't be easy.
So we were asked to come and sort of do what we do everywhere and help the team understand the timing of all of it. When were the people and the animals hanging out together?
The question is, how do you date a footprint? You can't date the footprints themselves. It's at the surface, and so to be able to date something, you have to be able to constrain it in time below and above. And so if the footprints are always at the surface, we can't do that.
Bigotti and Springer decide to dig underneath the prints to excavate material that could be dated.
We got to make an exposure. We have to dig a trench.
Yeah.
They're looking for animal or plant remains, anything containing carbon.
And we are painstakingly, bit by bit, 50-centimeter chunks at a time, describing the walls of the sediment.
As they scrape at the trench walls, each layer marks a different period of history. In many of the layers, they notice tiny black dots the size of pinheads.
Small tufts of burnt grass grow in the sand.
We were able to find seed layers of seeds that were positioned above and below various trackways. And there were prints down all over the place, right? And there are prints at the surface. So we basically said, you know, this could cover a fair bit of time. And in some places, actually, we were able to find seeds in the footprints themselves. So these right. People were walking around on a landscape, you know, stepping on these plants, which were alive at the time.
They were walking on a margin of a lake. So it was wet and dry in places, and these plants that need water for their life cycle were growing in the wet parts of this environment.
And we use radiocarbon dating of those seeds to constrain them in time. So since that time, when the people stepped on the plants haven't moved, the footprints mm-hmm. haven't moved, and so they're directly associated in right. time.
The deeper they dig, the more they find.
You are listening to the Canadian Philosophy Show. I'm Michael Robert Kaditz. I'm with Aaron Wang. I'm taking the liberty today to do something different and play clips from a CBC documentary, Walking with Ancients, because I'm trying to show you here the very different approaches of the indigenous people who have legends and stories that have been passed from generation to generation. The indigenous people who live in the Yukon area and then also in the New Mexico area and what is now